B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Ksubas Daf Yud Beis. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, 19 lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Ha'oichel Eitzel Chomiv B'Yehuda, Shaloi Ba'edim, Eina Yochel Litoin Tainis B'Sulim M'Pneisha M'Siyachid Ima. Eretz Yisrael was split into a number of different areas. One of them was called Yehuda, one of them was called Golil. In Yehuda, they had a custom that the chosn, even before the chuppah, before the nisuin, after the erusin, he would be nisyachid with his kala, with his wife, with his new wife, his wife-to-be, and they would be secluded in a private area, and they would do that, sheyehei libei gaspo, he should be accustomed with her and grow fond of her. That was a custom they did in Yehuda. So somebody who eats, and when it says he eats, it was a typical, the Rishonim discuss why, but it was typical that the yichud they would do and the eating, there was some connection between them. And so somebody who was oichel eitzel chomiv b'Yehuda, in this place of Yehuda, where they had the custom to do the yichud, then if he had yichud, shaloi ba'edim, that means if there were no edim to say that there was no yichud or that the yichud wasn't long enough that they did a bia, unless there's witness that there was no bia, there was no physical relations between them, then we assume that there could have been a physical relations between them, and then it's self-understood that eino yochelito in tainis besulim, that 12 months after the kiddushin, when it comes to getting married and finishing the marriage ceremony and having the chuppah, and the next night, or that night, the night after the chuppah, he has physical relations with her, obviously he cannot come with a claim there were no basulim, because we assume that maybe the reason there's no basulim is because you yourself, the chosen, had relations with her and removed those basulim. Because he was in a secluded area together with the kala, and therefore there's no tainas basulim. And Rashi already said on Daf Tes that it could be, there is such a scenario where a chosn 12 months after the erusin has forgotten that he had those relations with her, or he just had a physical relationship that wasn't, he didn't have a full bia, and he didn't realize that what he did do was enough to remove the basulim, and therefore he cannot have this claim of tainas basulim. Says the Gemara, Midiktoni. Since the Mishnah doesn't say anybody that gets married in the place called Yehuda cannot have a claim of Tainas Basulim, it just says Ha'oichel Eitzel Chomov, if he went and ate and had Yichud in his Kala's house, in his wife's house, in the parents of the wife's house, then it would seem that not everybody did it. It wasn't taken for granted that anybody in Yehuda, they did Yichud, and therefore, in the absence of Edim, there's no Tainus Basulim. Midik Toni Ha'oichel, that if this person was a person who went to eat in the house of his wife, then he doesn't have Tainus Basulim. Michlal, we can deduce from there, De'ikaduch to be Yehuda, that there are some places within the area of Yehuda, Nami, that Deloy Ochil, that they didn't have this custom. That means you cannot say anybody in Yehuda who cannot have Tainus Basulim because everybody does Yichud. No. There are some areas within Yehuda that they did Yichud, and in those places there's no Tainus Basulim unless there's Edim. There's other places that there was no Yichud, and in those places there is Tainus Basulim as in any other area. Omar Abaya, and Abaya seems to be echoing exactly what we just said now, and the Rishonim discuss what Abaya is coming to add here. Shema Mino, indeed we see that be Yehuda, in the area called Yehuda, Nami Mekoymus Mekoymus Yesh, there are some places where they did Yichud, and some places they didn't do Yichud. Ekedetanya brings proof from a Braisa, and again the Rishonim discuss here that we just deduced it from the Mishnah, what you're adding by bringing proof from a Braisa. But what does it say in the Braisa? Omar Ibn Yehuda. Be Yehuda, in the place called Yehuda, but Rishoino at first, Hoyu miyachdim es achosn ves akala, sho achas, koidim knisosom lechupa kadesh yehei libei gaspo. That at first means even before the chupa, in the time between the kiddushin and the chupa, they would be nisyachid, and here it says that they would be nisyachid, sho achas koidim knisosom lechupa, that before the chuppah, they would seclude the chosn and the kala in a private place together, in order that sheyehi libay gaspar, in order that he should become familiar and fond with his kala, with his wife. However, or begolil, in the place in Eretz Yisrael called Golil, the loy hayu esim kain, they would not do that. Another detail, be Yehuda, in this place of Yehuda, barishoyna hayu mamidim lohem shnei shushvinin. Then in those places where they would not do Yichud, because in the place where they did Yichud before the Chuppah, we assume that they could have done a bia together during that Yichud, and therefore when it comes to the Chuppah, there's no more claim of Besulim. However, in the areas where there was no Tainus, in the areas where they did not do Yichud, and if they didn't do Yichud during the time between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin and the Chuppah, then after the Chuppah, if the Chosn says there were no Besulim, he's got a good claim. However, there's an issue here, because either him or her could actually mess up that claim. It could be she doesn't have Besulim, and she's going to bring in a sheet or piece of cloth with some blood stains on to pretend that there was dam. Or maybe he found blood and he's just going to somehow destroy that cloth in order to destroy the evidence so that he can claim that there was no blood and then not have to give her the ksuba. Because they were afraid of this, then hoyu mamidim lohem shnei shushvinin, then the chosn and kala, they would each have an attendant, a shushvin, that would watch them and make sure, echad loy ve'echad lo, one for him, one for her, k'dei l'mashmeish, in order to examine es ha-chosn ves ha-kala b'shas k'nisasan l'chuppah, when they go to the chuppah, these attendants are going to make sure that nobody is messing around with the evidence. Not that she is bringing in a cloth with stains on, and not that he is going to destroy or get rid of the evidence that there was blood. And obviously, if they did that in Yehuda, then it must be that in that area in Yehuda, that they did not do the Yichud before. Because if they did Yichud before, there's no point having these attendants, because even if there's no blood, he can't come with a claim, because there was already a Yichud. In the Golil, they did not used to have these attendants. These attendants in the place of Yehuda, the attendants would sleep in the house of the Chosn and the Kala. But in the Golil, they would not sleep in the house of the Chosn and Kala. And again, there's a discussion here. We just said now in the Golil, there were no attendants. So why are you saying now that they would not sleep in the Chosn and Kala's house? It's a discussion here in the Rishonim. The final clause of the Braisa, V'chol sheloi noag k'minig hazeh, any man, any chosen, who did not have this custom that we just said now, eino yochel litein tainus besulim, if he didn't have this custom, then he cannot claim that there were no besulim. And this is a phrase where, if we were to focus on it well, we'd realize it doesn't read so well in the context of the Mishnah. Ahai, and that's what the Gemara is about to discuss. We just saw in the Mishnah two different customs. In the first custom was that in Yehuda, they were hoyu meyachadim, they would do yichud. The second custom was that in the places where there was no yichud, then they would have these two attendants. And now at the end of the Brice is saying, anyone who didn't do that custom cannot have a claim of Tainus Besulim. So which custom are we talking about? Are we talking about the custom to have yichud? Well, then it wouldn't make sense to say anyone who didn't have that custom, they cannot have Tainus Besulim. On the contrary, if you had the custom of Yichud, then you cannot have Tainus Besulim, because there was a Yichud before the Chuppah, after the Kiddushin. It's if you didn't have the custom of Yichud, then you can have the claim of Tainus Besulim. So how can it say, Kol sheloi noak minik hazeh, anyone who didn't have that custom cannot have Tainus Besulim? Ilema reisha, if it's going on that first custom, it should say, Kol shenohag, anyone who does have the custom of doing the yichud before the chuppah is Kol shenohag miboile, it should say that anyone who did have that custom cannot have a claim of Tainus Besulim. Elo aseifa. So it must be going on the second custom of having the attendants. And he had one attendant to make sure that she was not bringing in a cloth with stains that were not her blood. She would, and that would be what he would make sure, that she has an attendant, and she would make sure that he has an attendant to make sure that he doesn't destroy any evidence. Now it's the evidence that he's destroying that will determine is there a claim of basulim or not. If he says there's no dam basulim, then we have to make sure. Did you destroy the evidence and really there was dam basulim, or did you not destroy the evidence and indeed there was no dam basulim? That's the question. So it's what determines whether he has dam basulim is whether he had an attendant, whether he was being supervised. Now, if he was being supervised, that's not a custom he has to do. That's a custom that she has to do to make sure that he has an attendant to watch him, to make sure he doesn't destroy the evidence. So why does it say kol shelo nohag? If he didn't have bring an attendant, it means he didn't bring an attendant to watch her, that she wasn't bringing in blood that wasn't really hers. And if so, that wouldn't be a reason not to have tainus basulim. On the contrary, if he didn't bring an attendant for her, and that means that there was a risk that she was bringing in a cloth with dam, with blood from the outside, and yet he claims there's no blood, and she doesn't come with such a cloth, of course he's got a claim. So what the Braisa would mean to say is not if he doesn't have the custom to bring an attendant to protect, to watch her, rather if he wasn't being protected by her attendant that was supposed to be watching him. That means the attendant that she was bringing to protect her from his possibly being able to cheat his way out. So if so, Elo Asefer, if it's going on the Sefer, it shouldn't say Kol Sheloi Nohag, it should say Kol Sheloi Mushmash. Any Choson who was not being supervised by an attendant, then we have the risk that maybe he destroyed the evidence and really there was blood, and then if he claims there was no blood, he's got no claim. Miboile, that's what the Braisa should have said, but it's not what the Braisa said. So whichever way you hold this, we don't understand what the last comment of the Braisa. Omar Abaya, Abaya says Le'olam Areisha. It's going on the first statement. V'tonyan, indeed, it should say kol shenoag. It shouldn't say in the Braisa, kol sheloi noag. Anyone who didn't have the custom of yichud cannot have tainus basulim. It means is kol shenoag. Anyone who did have the custom of doing the yichud, since they had the custom of doing yichud, you cannot claim tainus basulim. Omale Rava. Rava says, I understand you have an issue here with the Braisa, but the Braisa says, V'ho kol sheloi noag kotoni. The Braisa says clearly that when can you not claim tainus basulim? When you did not have the custom, not when you did have the custom. Elo Omar Rava, Rava explains it differently. Rava says it's actually not going on the place of Yehuda, it's going on the place of Golil. Hochi ko'omar, kol sheloi noag min ha-golil. We're talking about somebody who was in the Golil, and in Golil, nobody did Yichud. That would, the custom was not to have any yichud between the chosn and kala before the chuppah. And then he's saying, kol sheloi noag min ha-golil. Anyone who didn't follow the custom of golil in begolil, in golil, elo minig Yehuda begolil, but in golil he followed the custom of Yehuda and there was yichud. If there was yichud, eino yochilito in tainus basulim, then after the chuppah you can no longer come with the claim of tainus basulim. There were no basulim. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says le'olam ha-seifa. He says that it's going on the second halacha. And indeed, v'toni kol shelo mushmash. It doesn't say kol shelo nohag. Indeed, it says kol shelo mushmash, which means any chosen in Yehuda who did not have this attendant to make sure he doesn't destroy the evidence, he cannot claim tainus basulim. Continues the next Mishnah. Achas almona Yisroel. V'achas almonas koyanim ksubos amona. We've already learned that the ksuba, which is a financial commitment to his wife when the marriage terminates, either when he dies or divorces her, then for a basula, if the marriage was with a basula, a girl who had never been married, then the ksuba is 200 zuz. And if it's an almona, a widow, she had been married, it's 100 zuz. Says the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, that it doesn't matter whether this almona is a bas Yisroel or if the almona is a bas kohen, the halacha is the same, the ksuba is a mona. Based in shel kohenim, there were these places that most of the people or all the people living there were kohenim, and in those places, the based in of those kohenim, they would make takonas regarding these kohenim, and they instated, they made a takona that hoyu goivin lebesula, that whereas a regular Bas Yisrael, the ksuba of a Bas Yisrael is 200 zuz, the ksuba of the Bas Kohen is 400 zuz. V'leimichu biyodam chachomim, and the chachomim did not protest that they changed this. Says the Gemara Tana, We learned in the Braisa, Ve'almonas Koyanim Ksuboso Mosaim. We learned explicitly that the Almona, who is a Kohenes, she's a Bas Kohen, the Ksuba is 200. We just saw now in the Mishnah that Almona, irrespective of whether it's a Bas Yisrael or a Bas Kohen, it's Mona, it's just one Mona, it's 100 Zuz, not 200 Zuz, and here you're saying that it was 200 Zuz. And in the Mishnah that carries on and says that the Beis Din of the Kohenim, they just changed the value of the Ksuba for a Basula, not for an Almona. Asks the Gemara of Anantnan, did we not just learn in the Mishnah, Achas Almonas Yisrael, Vachas Almonas Kohenim, irrespective of whether the Almona is a Bas Yisrael or a Bas Kohen, Ksubos on Mone, the Ksuba is only one Mone. Omer Ravashi, Ravashi says no. Shtei takonis hoyu. There were two stages of the takonis. Mikore at first, kinu lebesula arba meizuz. The Beis Din of the Kohanim said that the Basula is the Ksuba of a Basula of a Bas Kohen is not 200 Zuz, it's 400 Zuz. Ul Almona, Mona. But for an Almona, even a Bas Kohen, they kept it at a Mona, like it says in our Mishnah, that the Ksuba of an Almona was across the board was a Mona. Kiven de Chozu, de Mezalzelubu, at some point they realized that they started treating these almonas lightly because the par, the gap between the value of the ksuba of the basula and the value of the ksuba of the almona is so large that a basula bas kohen is 400 and an almona bas kohen is only 100. Tkinulu umason, they upped the ksuba of an almona bas kohen to 200. Kiven de chozu de koporoshe minayu, then they realized that nobody was marrying these almonas Bas Kohen, the Omri, because people were saying, Ad Denosrin Almonas Kohenim, for the same value that we could marry an Almona who's a Bas Kohen, which is 200 Zuz, Nasal Nasiv Basula Bas Yisrael. We can marry a regular Basula of a Bas Yisrael whose Ksuba is also 200 Zuz. And then at that point, they went back and Adrinu Lemelsayhu, they changed it back to one Mona, that an Almona, irrespective of whether she's a Bas Yisrael or a Bas Kohen, it's only one Mona. Continues the Gemara. Beis Din Shel Kohenim v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that Beis Din Shel Kohenim, they were given the Besula Arbamo Yizuz v'leimichu biyodom chachomim, they upped the value of the ksuba of a basula from 200 zuz to 400 zuz if it was a bas kohen. Omer of Yudah Mashmuel, loy bezdin shel kohenim bilvad omru, elo afilu mishpochis hamiyuchosos biYisrael, even the more important families and the more prestigious families within Klal Yisrael who are not kohenim, also imrotzu lasis kderech shakohenim oisim. If they want to make that the ksuba, and we have to remember, we're going to learn about this more later on in the Masechta, that there was the base of the ksuba, the basic value of ksuba, and there's Tosefes ksuba. What you add on, any chosn can commit himself in the ksuba that if he divorces his wife or if he dies, he will not only give her the basic ksuba, mone, two mone, etc., but he's going to give her more. And he can write in what he wants. He can write there that if I divorce my wife, I'm going to give her $10 million. He can write whatever he wants. That's called Tosefes Ksuba. We're not talking about Tosefes Ksuba. We're talking about changing the value of the baseline of the Ksuba. So it says here, Shmuel says, that even the Mishpochis HaMiyuchosos BiYisrael, if they would choose to, that the Ksuba, the basic part of the Ksuba, of the regular Bas Yisrael, from these Mishpochis HaMiyuchosos, should be 400, they can do that. Meisvei, asks the Gemara, Horoi tzelasis kederech shakoenim oisim, kegoin bas Yisrael lekoen, or bas koen Yisrael oisim. In the Braisa it says that who is allowed to do what the koenim do and change the ksuba from 200 zuz to 400 zuz, it's either if it's a bas Yisrael lekoen, if the Bas Yisrael is marrying a Kohen, or if a Bas Kohen is marrying a Yisrael, then that's okay. So what do we deduce from here? That only Bas Yisrael a Kohen, or Bas Kohen Yisrael, who the ikat tzad kohuna? Then since there's a tzad of kohuna, since either he or her are from the Shevet, from the tribe of Kohenim, then they can up it to 400. Aval Bas Yisrael Yisrael, but a regular Bas Yisrael who's marrying a Yisrael, Loi, we're not going to allow you to change the value of the ksuba. So how could you, Shmuel, say that afilu mishpochis hamiyuchosis biyisrael imrotulasis kederach shakayim oisim oisim? We see here in the brisa that a bas yisrael to yisrael cannot do that. Says the Gemara, loy mi boya koma. It's on the contrary. If loy mi boya, not only if a bas yisrael marries a yisrael. When it's a regular Bas Yisrael to a Yisrael, there, she's not being upgraded, so to speak, by marrying him. She was a Bas Yisrael before, and she's still a Bas Yisrael. Then there, definitely, the husband can commit him, we can impose on the husband to commit himself to pay a larger ksuba, to pay 400 zuz. Aval bas yisroel a koyin. But in the case of a bas yisroel who's marrying a koyin, then maybe demotzi omar lo, he, the chosn, the husband, can say to his wife, ilavei komalin aleich, you're being upgraded, so to speak, by marrying me. Your status is changing from that of a yisroel to that of a kohenes. In many halachas, I may have thought in that case where he himself is upgrading her, so to speak, then she cannot impose on him a higher ksuba. Kumash malon. So we're saying that even, that's what the Braisa said, that even in a case where it's a bas yisrael to a kohen, even there, they can, if you want, then one can change the ksuba from 200 to 400. Continues the next Mishnah. And this Mishnah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and the next Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, are two Mishnayos where the chosn is coming and saying there was a chuppah, there was a bia rishona, and there were no basulim. And we have to hear what's your claim, what's your claim, what's he saying, and what's she saying. What does he want? What does she want? Is she expecting a full ksuba, 200? Is she expecting part of the ksuba, 100? What is he claiming? Is he claiming that she only deserves half? Is he claiming that she doesn't deserve anything? These are things that we're going to have to discuss. And we've got, in the two Mishnayos, we're going to have different cases that seem to be overlapping. They seem to be very similar to each other, just a little bit different. And then we're going to see on Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara is actually going to ask, why do we need these two Mishnayos? What's one Mishnah telling us that the other Mishnah is not telling us? Says the Mishnah, Hanoi says, so Isha, if somebody marries his wife, but does the chuppah, and he doesn't find that she has basulim, he oimeres, she says in a very certain way, she's a vadai, a bori, it's called certainty, vadai, certainty, she says with absolute certainty, you're right, there were no basulim, misha irastani, ne'enasti, the kiddushin we did 12 months ago, I was still a basula then, but after the kiddushin, before the nisuin, then somebody, without my wanting, somebody just forced me to have relations with them and removed the basulim. After the erusin, ne'enasti, and therefore there's no basulim. And she says, I'm very sorry, it's just your bad luck. It's no different if you'd have a field and suddenly torrential rains would flood the field. It would just be your bad muzzle. So too, you had a wife. When you did the kiddushin, then this wife was a basula. The time it came to the chuppah, she was no longer a basula. And she says that she deserves a full ksuba. V'hu oimer. And he says, no. He says, maybe loy ki elo ach lo yirastich. I don't know exactly when you lost the basulim. Maybe the basulim were removed from you already before the kiddushin, and it's a mekachtos. V'hoyo mekhi mekachtos. I was expecting to, so to speak, buy a wife that was X, and now she's Y. I was expecting to acquire a wife who's a basula, and it turns out that at the time of the kiddushin, she wasn't a basula. And the basic reading of this, of saying mekachtos, we've already discussed this in the Gemara earlier on, but the basic understanding of mekachtos means you don't deserve any ksuba. That's the claim. And he's not sure. He doesn't know. But he says, you're taking money from me? You want to take the ksuba from me? How do I know that you were a basula at the time of the kiddushin? Says Machlekes, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimrim, Ne'emenes. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say, we believe her. Why? She's speaking with certainty. He's a sophic. He's got a doubt. He doesn't know. And they hold Bori Vashema, Bori Odif. When you have a definite claim against a doubtful claim, then the definite claim is the one that overpowers. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, loy mipia onu chayim, we cannot take her word as a final word, and we do not know where, exactly when she became a basula. Harezu b'cheskas b'ula, then since we don't know, then we say, at the end of the day, it came to the chuppah, she was a ba'ula, we assume she was a ba'ula for as long as we know. Achaloitit aris, and it could be that she was this way even before she got married, before the kiddushin, vit osoy, and she misled him, achatoviraya ledvorea. Unless she can prove that she didn't lose her basulin before the kiddushin, then we have no choice other than to say that the husband can keep his money and does not need to pay her the ksuba. That's a basic reading of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara Itmar. We learned, and we're going to now, the Gemara is going to compare three cases. We just had the case in the Mishnah where she claims, Misha irastani ne'enasti, he claims, Achaloi irastich, there was that you're already not a basula, and there was a machlokes, a tanoim in the Mishnah, whether she's nemenes or he's nemenes. We're going to have now something very, very similar, but not in the context of the ksuba and basulim, in a completely different context. Says the Gemara Itmar, monoli biyotcha. What happens if Reuven says to Shimon, I know and 100% that you owe me a mona. And the other person says that, ain't you there? I don't remember. Maybe I owe it to you, maybe I don't owe it to you. Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna Omri Chayev. Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna say he has to pay. They seem to hold Bori Vashema, Bori Odif, that if you have a definite claim and a less definite claim, the definite one is the one that overrides. Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanon Omri Potter. Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanon, they hold that he's Potter. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda Omri Chayev. Why does Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say that he has to pay? Bori v'shema, bori odif. It's always the rule. You have a bori, a definite claim, and a shema, a doubt claim. Bori odif, the overpowering claim is the one which is definite. Rav Nachman, Rav Yechanan, Omri Potter, it says Potter, because they say that oiki mamoina b'cheskes morei. They say that you cannot take money from somebody with this claim, with bori v'shema, bori odif, since the money is now in the hands of the person who's being, so to speak, accused of owing the money, then since he's not 100% sure that he has to pay, then you have to prove it. Just because you have a definite claim isn't yet proof for us. Prove that he owes it to you, and then you can take the money from him. That was as far as that Gemara with the monet. Omale Abai l'Rav Yosef. Abai said to Rav Yosef, Hod Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda. This the Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, who said that this person who's told, you owe me a mona, is Chayev, the Shmuel seems to be following what Shmuel said. They're following Shmuel, Ditnan, because we learned in a Mishnah. And this is now a third case we're going to deal with. Hoysa Mu'uberes. If this unmarried woman, unfortunately, she became pregnant. Something that shouldn't happen, it's tragic, but she's pregnant. Va'omrula, and they said to her, Ma'tivu shal uberozeh, tell us about who's the father of this child. You didn't become pregnant just out of the blue. You had relations with somebody. Who was it? What's the nature of this child? And she answers, Me'ish ploini, I'm telling you in 100% that it was the father of this child is Mr. So-and-so, v'koyinu. And a kohen doesn't mean a kohen, it means it's meyuchos, it's not somebody that makes this child posel. This child is a kosher Yisrael and is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Imrim, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, they say, Nemenes, she's believed, because she's making we don't know where this child is from, we have a suffix. She claims she knows. She says it's 100% that this is a kosher child. Nemenes, she's believed. Again, bori v'shema, bori odif. V'omer Rav Yehuda Mashmuel said, halochok Rebbe Gamliel. The halochok is like Rebbe Gamliel, that bori v'shema, bori odif. So in the case of the child, the nature of the child, we Shmuel says that Lochas like Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who say that she's Ne'emenes because Bori Vashema Bori Odif, that is exactly what Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna are saying in the case where somebody tells his friend, you owe me money, he has to pay because Bori Vashema Bori Odif. V'omar Le Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda L'Rav Yehuda. Shmuel Bar Yehuda said to Rav Yehuda, Shinano is the sharp one, Rav Shmuel often called Rav Yehuda with this title, Shinano, the sharp one. Omras lon mishmei de Shmuel, halocha k'rabban Gamliel, af barishayna. That you just quoted Shmuel that said the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, that Rabban Gamliel says the woman is nemenes, that this child is a kosher child. And we said, because he holds, Rabban Gamliel holds, bori v'shemo, bori odif. And then we said that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda hold the same way. But Rav Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, if I remember correctly, when you quoted Shmuel, you said that in the name of Shmuel, that halacha k'Rabban Gamliel, not only in the case of the nature of this child, is he kosher, is he not kosher, that we believe this woman, like Rabban Gamliel says, because bori v'shema bori odif, but af barishayna, even in the first case we're discussing here, in the Mishnah, where now Mishnah, there's an argument between the husband and the wife, why there's no basulim. She says that the oinus, she lost the basulim after the kiddushin. He says maybe it was before the kiddushin. And Rabban Gamliel said she's nemenes because bori v'shema bori odif. So Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said to Rav Yehuda that you mentioned to us that the halacha is like Rav Gamliel, not only in the case of the kashrus of the child, but also in our Mishnah. And if you said af barishayna, even in our Mishnah the halacha is like Rav Gamliel, it seems that there's an added element of chiddush in our Mishnah that you say bori v'shema bori odif that you don't find in the case of the kashrus of the child. And that Mishnah regarding the kashrus of the child, where hoysom muberes v'omru lo mativu, etc., where over there Reb Gamliel says bori v'shema bori odif, and Shmuel ruled like Reb Gamliel, and you said in the name of Shmuel that not only is the halacha that bori v'shema bori odif in that case, it's even bori v'shema bori odif in our case over here. The question is, my af barishayna, what is this added element of chiddush? Of course, if you hold bori v'shema bori odif, why in our Mishnah would we say that we do not say bori v'shema bori odif? Answers the Gemara. Aval gav de'ika lemeima oika mamoina b'cheskas morei omer gamliel bori odif. In the case over there, we don't know the nature of this child. Is the child kosher? The mother says the child is definitely kosher. Okay, we don't have anything pulling us to the contrary. Over here, she says that the oinus, she lost the basulim after the kiddushin. He says, maybe not, maybe before the kiddushin, and it was a mekach tos, I don't need to pay the ksuba. But together with his claim of maybe you're wrong, besides for that, he can say, there's a chazoka, the money is in my hands, you need to take the money away from me, you need proof than that, you need more proof than just being certain I owe it to you. So I may have thought in the case where there's a chazoka, that the momin, that means the money is in his hands, in that case you do not use the rule of bori v'shema bori odif. That's why we say, that's the chiddush, that af barishayna, even in the Mishnah, the Reb Gamliel says that bori v'shema bori odif. Says the Gemara, leima Rav Yehuda v'Rav Huna, we saw in the case before, the beginning of the Gemara says when there was a discussion when Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me the money, Shimon says, I don't know. So we saw there was a machlekes. Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna say, there is chayev. And Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yechanon said, there is potter. So we're saying, can we not assume that it's the machlekes is the same machlekes? Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna are ruling like Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who say that bori v'shema bori odif, and therefore Shimon has to pay Reuven. And Rabbi Yeshua says, and Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yechanon says, like Rabbi Yeshua, that we don't say bori v'shema bori odif. We say that you cannot take money away from Shimon without having proof. Just being confident that he owes it to you is not enough reason to take the money away from him. And they rule like Rabbi Yeshua. So that's the question. The Gemara is asking, is it probable, or can we assume that the machlekes amiroim is actually a machlekes tanoim? Omel chor Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says no. Rav Nachman says because it's not comfortable for an amira to rule like one tana over another tana. And often in Shas, the Gemara says you have a machlekes amiroim, which is reflecting a machlekes tanoim. We're not so comfortable with that. So Rav Nachman says, Omel chor Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman will say no. It's true that in the case of where Reuven claims a mono from Shimon, Rav Nachman says he's potter. But that doesn't mean that he rules like Rabbi Yeshua. He could rule like Rabbi Gamliel. He says, Ano I who said that Shimon has to pay Reuven, that I said Anod Omra Filikram Gamliel. I who said that Shimon is exempted from paying Reuven, I can also hold like Rabbi Gamliel that in the case of the Ksuba, she is Ne'menes. Even though in the Ksuba she's Ne'menes because Bori Vashem or Bori Odif. And in the case of the Mona, we say that even though Reuven is Bori and Shimon is Shemo, nonetheless he's Potter. We don't say Bori Vashem or Bori Odif. And that doesn't seem to bother us. Why? Ad kan lo ka'omer Rabbi Gamliel Hossam. The only reason Rabbi Gamliel said there that she is Ne'menes is Elo de'ika migu. Because over there we have a migu, aval hocha my migu ika. Well, let's read another line, and then we'll come back to this. Inami ad kan lo ka'omer Gamliel hasam elo domrinon oik mechazoka. Hocha aval hocha my chazoka is leilahai. So here, what's going on is we said before that what the claim for Rabbi Yeshua, who says that you don't say Bari Vashem or Bari Odif, is because the person who's holding the money is Muhzuk. The husband is Muhzuk. And the money, in the Ksuba, the money for the Ksuba, Shimon is holding the money, and therefore he's Muhzuk, and that's the reason not to take the money away from him. Rabbi Gamliel says Bari Vashem or Bari Odif. But is it just Bari Vashem or Bari Odif? Or is it Bari Vashem, Bari, together with another claim? So in the case of the Ksuba, where she says that I deserve the ksuba, she's a bori, and she says, Misha rastani nenasti, I lost my basulim after the kiddushin. So there, Reb Nachman says, normally I say, you cannot take money away from somebody who's holding the money just because of bori. However, Reb Gamliel has one or two other reasons that we say she's ne'emenes. What are they? The first one is migu, the second one is chazaka. What is migu? Migu says, what are we worried about? She says, I lost my basulim after the kiddushin, and therefore I deserve ksuba. He says, maybe you lost the ksuba before, you lost the basulim before the kiddushin, and then it's a mekach tos, you misled me, and I don't need to give you the ksuba. So over there we say like this, you mean you husband are saying maybe you wife are lying. Let's think about it. Let's say she was lying. Would she not be able to say a better lie? Instead of saying that she lost the basulim after the kiddushin by somebody who did oinus to her, somebody who violated her, why doesn't she just say, you know what, really, nobody violated me. The reason there's no basulim is because I was injured. It was mukas eitz. Why doesn't she say that? And saying mukas eitz would be a much better claim, because saying mukas eitz would not make her osur to a kohen. Because nobody violated her, there was no znus, not boinus, not baratzen. Why did she choose to say that there was an oinus after the kiddushin? Because that's really putting her in a place where she's also to a kohen after that, because of znus. By kohen, there's no exemption of oinus. Anyone who did znus, even if it was boinus, is also to a kohen. So if she was lying, she could have said a better claim. Why didn't she? The fact that she could have lied in a better way that was going to stand to her advantage more, and she didn't, that itself tells us we can trust her. So over here, Rav Nachman says, in the case of Reuven saying, you owe me a mona, and Shimon says, I don't know, Rav Nachman says, he's potter. This is over there, because Shimon's holding the money, you need proof to take it away from him. In the case of Ksuba, there I'm following Rabbi Gamliel, because he's the Bori, but not only Bori, but I have proof. I have something that tells me that she's saying the truth, and that's because if she wasn't saying the truth, she could have said a better lie. And that's called Migu. Migu means since. Since she could have said a better lie, if she was lying, we assume that she's not lying. So that's what the Gemara says. Rav Nachman says, Anod Amra Afilu Kribben Gamliel. I who say that Shimon doesn't need to pay the money could even be holding like Rabbi Gamliel, who says that she is Ne'menes to take the money of the Ksuba from her husband. Ad kan lo yikomer Rabbi Gamliel Hosom, because the reason that I follow Rabbi Gamliel is Elo de'ika Migu, because he's got a Migu. She's got a Migu. She can say, if I was lying, I would have said a better lie. Aval hocha my Migu ika. Over here, what migu is there? Reuven is claiming that Shimon owes him money. What migu has Reuven got that would take the money, that would tell us he's saying the truth? All he's doing is coming with confidence. That's not enough to take money from Shimon. Inami, the second explanation why Rav Nachman says I could follow Rabbi Gamliel even though I don't tell Shimon that he has to pay Reuven the money that he's claiming, is because Ad Kanoi Komer Ben Gamliel Hasam Elo Domrinon Oikma Chazaka. Over here, what are they claiming? They're discussing when did she lose her basulim, before the kedushin or after the kedushin. Well, there's a rule. The rule is that whatever was stays until the latest point, until we say from here and on we know it's changed. We assume that what we call status quo. This girl was born with basulim, and she has a status quo of being a basula. If you have a discussion now, when did she lose her status of basula? We assume she lost it at the latest possible point. She says she lost it after the kiddushin. He says maybe you lost it before. We say no. Oikma chazaka. We have a chazaka of status quo. She's a basula. As long as possible, and at the time of the kiddushin, she had not yet lost the basulim. And therefore, we say that she is nemenes. Hochanami mistabra, and it's probable k'dekamashaninon, like we just explained, the Rav Nachman who the Omer k'Rav Gamliel, that Rav Nachman. So of course, Rav Nachman could rule like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that we don't say bori v'shem or bori odif, but he could also hold like Rabbi Gamliel and say Rabbi Gamliel was different because Rabbi Gamliel had one or two other logics or other things that were siding with his claim to believe the woman. Either migu or chazaka. Dimkein kashi hilchasa hilchasa. Because if you don't say that, then we're going to have an issue here. Dekai melon hilchasuk of Nachman Bedini. We know that when it comes to financial things, momenus, then the halacha is always like Rav Nachman. And we also know, ubaha omer of Yehuda Mashmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel. We saw before, the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, that she is nemenes. And how do we reconcile these two halachas? You can't also rule like Rav Gamliel and also rule like Rav Nachman if the whole discussion is only Bori Vashem or Bori Odif or not. Rav Gamliel says that Bori Odif and Rav Nachman says that not. Then we're going to have a contradiction. Is the halacha always like Rav Nachman or is the halacha like Rav Gamliel? Shmuel said the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. Elolav Shema Mino. It must be Kedemashaninon. It must be that Rav Nachman is never arguing with another known halacha because the halacha is always like Rav Nachman. Shema Mino. It must be that if we rule like Rav Gamliel, it's not a contradiction to ruling like Rav Nachman. Why would Rav Nachman say Shimon doesn't need to pay Ruvain the money, and nonetheless he would agree with Rabbi Gamliel that the husband does have to pay the ksuba to the woman? The answer is, number one, she has a migu, and number two, she has chazaka. And in the next year, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.